Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2016. I'm Dave Bryan from Steelers Depot. It is August 10th, 7:30 in Las Vegas. That means it's 10:30 where Alex Cazora is outside of Pittsburgh. Alex, fresh back from La Trobe. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, Dave. And yeah, the late practice today, I was asking you, I'm curious if anybody has the answer just of why we had this later practice started at 5:15 today. I thought maybe just for the Lions' sake, because they're in Pittsburgh right now. They're not in La Trobe. They travel, you know, the hour and a half drive. So kind of pushed things back a little bit today, you know, which is fine for them, but a little less fine for you and me.
Yeah, and we apologize for this going up so late, you know, for those of you who are listening to it as soon as it went up. But Alex has that drive back, and then he has to type up that monster report that he has for you guys every night, and then he immediately jumps on. I don't even think you got any no McChickens in your belly yet, right?
No McChickens. Subway today.
Subway.
And we, thank you to Touring Plans for the Subway food today, which is in the refrigerator getting cold. But that's okay.
I hear you. Okay, Alex, a lot to get to today. Mike Tomlin talked to the media earlier in the day. Kind of told us probably what most of us already knew. Several of the starters, mostly offensive, that he named, won't be playing in the Friday night game against the Detroit Lions. Several guys that have been kind of nursing injuries and have missed some, you know, kind of substantial practice time won't be playing in that game either. You know, guys like Artie Burns, Travis Feeney, Marcus Wheaton. Help me out. Who else, Alex?
The guys that have missed, Bud Dupree was still out today. I don't know if Tomlin talked about him specifically, but he's still considered a young guy, so I'd be surprised. Jarvis Jones has missed the last 2 days. We'll see about that. Gerald Hawkins, I'd be surprised if he goes. He was not in practice today.
Roy Filon's another one. Kanan Severin, I'm not sure why Tomlin mentioned him. Mm-hmm. He's waived, injured, in IR. One thing we learned about him, though, is he had to have surgery, evidently, on that shoulder that he injured. So that's a rundown there. There's no such thing as inactive list during preseason games. But, you know, prior to the game, we will pass along the word that the media passes along as far as who's dressing and who's not. And, of course, after the game, we'll wrap everything all up in a nice bow. But I wouldn't look for a lot of starters to play in that game, and those who do play probably not going to see a lot of time. Who are we missing as far as didn't work today, Alex?
Most of the names that we had just talked about, Feeney's still out. Dave, let me ask you, do we know a definitive answer of what that injury is on Feeney?
Man, no, I don't. No, I don't. I think I heard soft tissue something or another on him.
Because I keep seeing that big ace bandage on his upper left thigh, so I'm guessing that's it, unless there's someone else that said otherwise. So that might be the issue with Feeney. He's missed, man, I don't know how many days. He's missed 6 or 7 practices. Dupree's still out. He wasn't even in pads today. He was in pads yesterday and I think did a little bit of work partial. He shut it down completely today, was out there in shorts. Don't know if that was planned or not. Marcus Wheaton sat out entirely, did some running on the turf field for a little bit. Before practice really kicked off, Hawkins still missed with a shoulder. Marquise Pouncey was unknown. I'm assuming he got the day off. Artie Burns with his quad. He wasn't even in pads today to any degree. Jarvis Jones missed the second day. I'm guessing there's just something minor with him. Didn't even see Roy Filon on the field. He's got a pretty apparently serious ankle injury. Gilbert and Big Ben returned to practice in full today. And then David Johnson was the only guy I saw for either side with an injury mid-practice. It was minor, very late in practice. A little gimpy walking off, might be that right leg, something like that. So I don't think it's serious by any means. He didn't get trainer's attention. But if he does miss Friday, I bet you that's why.
Boy, let's hope either Dupree let's hope both of them, Dupree and Jarvis, play Friday night. If not, we're going to see a lot of Anthony Ciccolo, probably some Arthur Motes. I doubt we're going to see much of Debo.
It's a Zumwalt show.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, get ready.
Mike, and who's the other kid?
Mike Riley, yep.
Yeah, Mike Riley. Oh, boy, what a I would look forward to breaking down the tape on those two, right?
Yeah, I wish Feeney was playing, man. That injury bug has followed him his whole career, and it's starting his NFL career as well.
I know we haven't played a preseason game yet, but we're almost to the stage with him where the 53 just don't, you know, looking less and less likely for him.
Right, and you know, I said before the training camp, and we'll see if it comes true. I don't want to, you know, get too ahead of myself, that he might end up on IR because of some injury related thing. And with the way he's kind of projecting, you know, who knows? I feel like if he gets into a game, he's definitely going to get hurt. You know, he's just had that injury bug follow him so many places.
All right, let's get after it here. You told us last night that you're going to concentrate mostly on the defense today. You did that. However, you probably were able to watch, I think you told me, more offense today than you were able to watch defense yesterday. So let's start on the defensive side of football and talk. You know, they practice against the Lions, of course, once again. What you saw out of the defensive linemen today?
You know, I saw some of the guys that we know are all-stars do their all-star thing, whether that's Cam Hayward, Tuitt, back-to-back plays. They blew up runs in the backfield. Thought they both had their good moments in one-on-one today against the Lions offensive line. It's not like we need a lot of information or progress reports on those guys, but it's just good to see them beat up on some other competition. Javon Hargrave continues to kind of flash a little bit. He had a really nice kind of push-pull where you start with a bolt and basically you just rip the guy down. It was Travis Swanson, the center, for a clean win and one-on-ones. But the one thing for Hargrave, wrote it in the report today, you know, I think the one thing he has to work on, at least in terms of his pass rush repertoire, is that bull rush. You know, I think whenever he's used that in the past, it hasn't always been successful. He's lightning quick off the football, Dave, but he kind of loses that power pretty quickly. It burns out, you know, pretty instantly. So I think just being able to have power through that bull rush and be able to sustain is the big thing for him. And the other note that I have is just, you know, the one guy we haven't talked about a whole lot because he has been quiet, and I still would have him on my 53 because of a lack of competition, but LT Walton, just pretty quiet this last week or so, and you're hoping in this game he's able to make some splash plays. He'll get a lot of play time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him and Keshawd Lyons, another guy that really, you know, not hearing a lot about, but somebody's got to have that sixth defensive line spot, right?
Right, yeah, I still give the edge to Walton right now. But, yeah, I thought Lyons is, you know, did a couple nice things today. I think Sigler got kicked out of a drill in O-line, D-line, and Lyons came in. He shows some quick hands. I like his punch. I like kind of the active quick hands that he has. He's got a nice body type. I don't know too much from an effort standpoint. Haven't gotten a good feel for that. I think that's where Walton has done his best in camp. It's just an effort and chase to the football, which you and I and most of Steelers Nation knows is so important and paramount to John Mitchell. But, yeah, both overall, you know, pretty quiet.
You know, I just thought of is unfortunately during the are they going to give us the all 22 during the preseason this year?
No, and they never have, and to my knowledge, that's not changing.
Yeah, I just remembered that earlier today that you know, I was talking to my wife about looking forward to doing that all day on Saturday, and then it hit me. It's like, oh no, preseason, we're not going to have all 22, and then, it's so nice to be able to see that, especially when it comes to offensive linemen and defensive linemen more than anything. Now, obviously, you like to see the coverages and you know the corners and the safety in the all 22 view of it, you know, from the sky look. But yeah, that's unfortunate. We'll have to decipher what we can from the TV, which is it's about what you're going through at practice right now, right?
We'll have to hope that the Game Pass puts up the NFL Network broadcast because you get some of that local KDKA stuff. Things get a little bit shakier sometimes with some miscuts and things like that. So root for the NFL Network broadcast, which is usually going to be a little bit cleaner.
And by the way, that is going to be broadcast live for people outside the market area on the NFL Network Friday night. So good news there for Steelers fans that live outside the area.
The next game too, right? Next game.
Yeah, the Eagles game too. And I think I read something where maybe Fox, I think, may have the Saints game. Don't quote me on that. But I think Steelers fans are going to get pretty lucky here as far as preseason games, especially those that are outside the area, I should say. All right, back Devontae Sigler. How's that young fella coming along?
He quieted back down. He's shown a couple things in you know, one-on-one. Like I've said before, he's kind of a play-a-day kind of guy. With this joint practice, he's been pretty quiet. Again, though, it was tough for me to watch the defense yesterday. He's gotten a lot of work where has he been? And I think mainly left end. He might flip a little bit. These guys start shuffling around the farther we go in the camp. But so he might get some table scrap snaps. You know, Walton's going to be ahead of him. Lyons is going to be ahead of him. It's going to be really Walton and Lyons competing because they both are probably going to be on the field at about the same time. Walton at left end, Lyons at right end. So they're going to have that chance to show up on the same stage against the same offensive grouping, you know, the second stringers or whoever is in at the time for the Lions. So no excuses across the board. It'll be a good time to compare those two.
You think they end up keeping two on the practice squad, Lyons and maybe one other guy?
Yeah, if they do, I think they'll keep a nose tackle just because you're only going to have two on the 53. I mean, Matthews could probably play it in an absolute pinch, but you have McCullers and Hargrave. So I bet you they keep a third nose tackle just in case. And, you know, so you start looking at basically right now it's LaVon Hooks. I mean, with Filon's injury, he might take himself out of the equation. So, maybe an end, maybe a nose tackle. I think it's going to be a little bit about who merits it, and we'll have to sort those things out. So definitely one defensive lineman. I just don't know where that's coming from or if they're going to carry a second.
Hooks getting many reps at all. He can't, right?
A little bit more now that Roy Filon's out. I don't, you know, the snap count's going to go up because they kind of rotated as the, I guess, kind of sort of 13 nose tackles. So Hooks was on the ground once today. I thought he made a nice play. I think it was yesterday it was. I saw one nice play from LaVon Hooks. But the big thing he has going from him is just that. He has some size, and he can kind of anchor and try to be able to two-gap a little bit. So if they want to keep that true nose tackle as their third guy for the practice squad, he would fit that bill. Roy Filon's a different type. He's more of a one-gapper. It's what he did at Louisville. I think it depends, one, on Filon's injury, of course, and two, on the type of body type that you want to keep.
And Hooks, watching his tapes, like watching a roller coaster ride. It's hot and cold, on the ground. Don't remember him running after the football well either.
Yeah, he's an interesting story. He was a real high recruit, I think, out of high school. He was a JUCO kid that had a lot of promise. He goes to Ole Miss. It didn't really work out there. The production was never what it was expected to be. He was in Green Bay last year, so this isn't his first rodeo in the NFL. Pretty quiet camp for him. A little bit of flash, a lot of quiet, though.
All right, we'll look forward to watching him. Outside linebacker, there's a lot of bodies out.
Chick's still quick. I like it. You should put that on a bumper sticker. Yeah, he's doing fine. I mean, yeah, basically, you know, just assume every day he's doing fine unless I say something else. We've kind of gotten to the point where we're expecting Chickolo to have productive days in camp. Yeah, without Bud Dupree, without Travis Feeney, two guys you really want to put on the microscope. It's not like there's a whole lot to talk about today. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Arthur Motes. He's Arthur Motes. James Harrison is James Harrison. Jarvis Jones was also out today. Just going back to Jordan Zumwalt, just watching him in one-on-ones, there's just no first step. It's there's no explosion off the football. He struggles to corner because he's got a couple years in the system and has just kind of been around things. He can set up tackles a little bit, and you know he'll shake you outside and go inside, but he just does not have the flexibility to win the edge on any sort of consistent basis. So I still think that Mike Riley's better off the ball. I think he's better, you know, flexibility and being able to turn the edge. So I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm personally, if you're keeping one, I'm taking Mike Riley over Jordan Zumwalt.
Nice. And as we mentioned, Dupree and Jarvis not working today. The line's real short there. Makes you kind of wonder if both those guys, I wonder if we're going to see a transaction tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Outside linebacker type. Brought in.
Well, you'll have in terms of the backups, not counting, you know, Harrison and Moat, you still have three guys for the whole game. I mean, you can probably get by on that, give them a lot of reps.
Yeah, and rest assured, Mike Tomlin's going to want to see a lot of Chickolo. He talked today about, you know, wanting to see a lot of Jesse James in that game. We're going to be disappointed if Chickolo doesn't have a couple sacks and four or five pressures, right?
Yeah, he should. I'm not sure what the Lions' backup tackles are like. I mean, obviously I've seen them, but I don't know their whole stories. I think they have a lot of big, tall guys, though, guys that are like 6'7", 6'8", listed. So I think Chickolo's going to be able to get under some of those guys, and, you know, with the rip and with that little dip move around the edge, he could definitely get some pressure.
So the fever pitch could go even – what's more fever pitch?
It's up there. It's
Fever pitchier?
Yeah, it's like DEFCON 5 levels of pandemonium right now for Anthony Chickolo.
There you go. Inside linebacker, Timmons still running around. He's evidently dropped 4 or 5 pounds. I saw in one of these reports on Twitter today. Shazier, I assume Shazier's back and taking his full complement of reps.
Yep, Shazier's good. He's looked good, looked fast. Typical Shazier stuff. I thought LJ Fort, Vince Williams were very active today in team drills. Tyler Medikevich had one nice win in one-on-ones. He has a great job of being able to string, you know, rush moves and be able to use one and counter off of it. It was his first rep against Zach Zenner today. Zenner's a pretty big dude, and he swam over and Medikevich did, and then as Zenner kind of seals to the outside, Medikevich just hits him with his nasty spin move back inside and beats him clean. So the pass rush ability of Tyler Medikevich has been one of the most surprising things from training camp. You know, I don't know an exact ranking, but things I didn't think I'd be talking about in training camp, that's high on the list. Now, Zenner did, I think, win the next two reps against Medikevich, who showed some active hand fighting but just couldn't shed. But you see those flashes in those moments, and I think this is a guy that could, you know, if he gets on one-on-one with a running back in the preseason, some, you know, backup third-string running back who doesn't, you know, isn't apt in pass protection, Medikevich could do some work on him.
Steven Johnson, what's he do well, and what don't you like about him?
I don't know if I have a complete answer for that yet. You know, he's a veteran guy. I think he's always in position. He's usually meeting guys in the hole and being able to stand them up. I don't have any like major plays and we go, wow, what a great play by Steven Johnson, but he's usually around the ball too. You know, he was running, where was he running today? I think first team on the punt return, unit today. And so, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the four phase guy because I haven't seen him. I think on the punt coverage unit, I think Chicolo is going to be a four phase guy. I mean, he was on first team units again today, and I think just kind of teasing stuff out, he might be a four phase player, which is huge for him. You know, but let me kind of bounce off topic for just a second here, because I'm sure you've gotten a lot of talk about it, and I've gotten some tweets about it as well, about, you know, the Eagles, they're calling for inside linebacker help. People are talking about, you know, getting Eric Rowe. What is your stance on that? Who would you potentially trade of that inside linebacker group? You know, what would it take, and et cetera, et cetera?
First of all, you were the originator of all that Eric Rowe stuff.
Yeah, that was back in July. I heard he was slipping on the depth chart, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how people are trying to pick that up and run with it now. But here's the thing. Who's going to trade? Nobody's going to trade for Lawrence Timmons in that salary.
No.
Okay, so that nobody, Shazier's, that's not happening. Nobody's, you'd be foolish to trade Vince Williams.
Yes.
Nobody's going to trade for a guy like Steven Johnson.
Okay.
Who signed a 1-year deal. I mean, nobody's going to give you a draft pick for that. Medikevich isn't going anywhere. Who else are we talking about? LJ Fort? Who's going to trade for an LJ Fort, honestly? Mm-hmm.
I think the one name that you could make a case for is Steven Johnson. And you're right about the contract. That really hurts kind of that leverage. But I think if you were to hypothetically, of course, trade Steven Johnson and let's say a conditional sixth-round pick for Eric Rowe, knowing that Rowe's fallen out of favor and they want to wipe their hands clean of Eric Rowe, I think that you could do something there with that kind of possibility.
Now, if we're talking about a guy with a couple cheap years left on his deal or whatnot, that's one thing. Right. But, I mean, it's just such a disadvantage for a team to do that. I you know, you hardly see it except with kickers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time? I mean, I'm sure you could point out one or two. But, I mean, let's face it, Steven Johnson's just a guy.
Well, I mean, I think that he's got some Sunday experience, which is more than what Fort and Medikevich can say. And he's been a Fort, you know, phase special teamer before. And if Pittsburgh decides that maybe he's not going to be the core special teamer we thought he was because of the emergence of Fort and Medikevich, he could be somebody that you move. This is all just, you know, hypothetical, of course. But and I think that there's a little bit of value there in terms of what the Eagles might be looking for. It's going to take more than just Steven Johnson. But I think if you throw in a pick, I think you could get the Eagles talking a little bit.
What did they trade, bless his heart, RIP, Adrian Robinson for?
Isn't it Felix Jones? It was player for player.
Right. That was player for player. Now, that was a unique situation. Those are two severely bottom-of-the-end guys,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I guess you could bring that up as a as an instance. I mean, that was a player for player deal. I think Rowe has more value, right?
a little bit, but yeah, I think he has the name value, but he's fallen down quick. I mean, he sounds like a guy that's on the bubble. He's running behind Jalen Mills, a 7th round rookie, you know, so that kind of tells you where they have Eric Rowe at. So yeah, he has some name value and he has the pedigree in the high draft pick, but in terms of the value now with this regime under Doug Peterson, he's just a guy, I think, to Doug Peterson.
Well, I mean, it sounds great on paper, and I know Steeler fans would love to have another defensive back in town, but I'm trying to look up LJ Fort's contract real quick. Yeah, he's just signed through 2016. Because
he might be like a restricted guy or something, maybe with his.
Here's the thing: he might be exclusive rights.
Okay. Just been on and off practice squads and that whole spiel.
Yeah, you know that would add a little bit of value to him, I guess, because I mean teams can easily retain an exclusive rights player that way. Let me see here. Yeah, he's going to be an exclusive rights free agent after the year's over. And then a guy like Steven Johnson's already past restricted, I think. I mean, he's been in the league a while, right?
Yeah, is it definitely just a one-year deal for Steven Johnson? I thought it was more than that. I didn't think they signed him to it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was the $80,000 signing bonus.
All right, let me pull it up here. Over the caps are
I got it in my Excel right here. $760,000 base salary. He's got a they kind of split his up his $80,000. He only makes the he makes $55,000 if he makes the roster.
Okay.
So he got a $25,000 signing bonus, and they kind of delayed the fit. So he's not guaranteed. You know, it's a non-traditional. Normally, you see when they sign these veteran minimum contracts with these guys, normally they give them the $80,000 signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they didn't do this with him. So in other words, they only have $25,000 tied up in potential dead money with him.
Okay, but to the point, I mean, he loses some of that value because he's only a one-year guy, but he has more value than Fort because he's done more NFL-related things, you know?
Right. The thing is, I mean, and really, teams would probably only be willing to trade him player for player anyway, because why would you give a draft pick for a guy that, you know, you're not guaranteed to re-sign or.
No, I'm not saying the Eagles to trade a draft pick. I'm saying the Steelers trade a draft pick and Steven Johnson for Eric Rowe.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Yeah, the Eagles aren't trading picks. They're trading Rowe, and that's it.
Oh, I see.
So it'd be a hypothetical conditional 6th rounder plus Steven Johnson for Eric Rowe. You could also put Alex Carter or the Lions in that same camp. I've heard some people on the Depot message board talking about that. I think both make sense.
Kevin Colbert loves some draft picks, though.
But he's talked about, but he said he expects multiple compensatory picks, and they were going to trade up in that 5th round knowing that they were going to get multiple of those picks next year. I'll have the exact quote here. He says, after the draft, when I was talking about trying to get another pick in this draft, we would have traded a pick from next year's draft because we anticipate getting 2 or 3 compensatory picks. So if you're pretty sure you're going to get those, why not trade one to help us this year? Can apply the same mindset then to now.
Sure, and look what he gave for Brandon Boykin. Yeah. So you know it's not foreign. I just don't see it happening. I mean I would welcome a guy like Rowe. I think he's an intriguing prospect for what the Steelers would probably try to do with him.
And the Steelers have interest. They brought him in the same day they brought in Duran Grant, April 21st last year.
Maybe he'll wind up being that guy that gets cut and. Like a Ross Cockrell, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I we'll see. That'd be nice. It'd be easier to do it, though. I think he would still be subjected to waivers, wouldn't he? And then you got to go through that waiver process.
Boy, we went down that rabbit
hole. I didn't mean to get too off topic, but
you get me talking about contracts and trades, and off I go. I'll be surprised, but I guess I wouldn't. I can't completely rule it out. I'll just leave it at that. Where were we? Inside linebacker. Let's go to speaking of depth at defensive back. Garner with Sean Davis kind of banged up late in practice today, he ended up being the first team nickel, right?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I don't think Gardner had a spectacular day, but he showed up in my notes a lot. He was just all around the football today. I thought his run support has been solid. He's a guy that gets off blocks and is able to get in the backfield and make himself a presence there. He's a guy that's played all three spots, you know, left corner, right corner, and nickel. You know, so I think nickel is his best background so far. But, yeah, he keeps popping up in my notes, and, you know, that's how you try to get on a team. You keep making plays.
All right, Artie Burns still sidelined. William Gay, how's William Gay looking? We haven't talked a lot about him.
Yeah, because he's William Gay. He's fine. I don't even pay attention that much to William Gay unless he's getting targeted. I think he had one breakup today, and they threw one touchdown on him, a fade too. I think it was Golden Tate. But Gay's fine. He's doing his thing. You know, no big reason to talk about him there.
Garner a legitimate shot. If they don't do anything else, you know, like
right.
We talk about and waiver wire and all like that?
Oh, I don't know. I someone asked me if he has a decent chance. I said he has an outside chance. I don't want to get into too big of a semantics thing, but I feel like we do every year talk about at least one or two defensive backs that they're going to make this team, whether that's a Kevin Fogg and Ian Wild and Alden Darby or whoever else been in there in the past that I'm forgetting about. So, I mean, it wouldn't floor me. And of course, you got to show something on special teams. So we're going to get a better feel for that after this game, you know, and as we go through the process. But, you know, I think Gardner has good ball skills, but he's a guy that does get a little aggressive, a little greedy, and can create separation. So he's got to make some splash plays, though, in the preseason, because I don't think Kevin Fogg did that a lot last year. He had it in training camp and not in preseason, the games themselves, and that's kind of, I think, the big separator.
The thing is, Tomlin talked about today, you know, when and if Artie Burns gets back on the field, which is probably going to be next week, we hope. He's not going to put him in the slot because he wants enough snaps to go around for those guys that are already playing in the slot. Being as how they lost Cinquez for an extended period of time, being as how it looks like a guy like Sean Davis is going to be your nickel and possibly dime slot defender, you know, who's next? I mean, if something was to happen, mm-hmm. I think the obvious thing would be to shift William Gay inside. But, I mean, who else is getting reps there?
Well, it's Garner, it's Kevin White, it's Sean Davis, and we know Will Gay has that background. Now, we know that White and Garner have a big uphill battle to make this team, so I think, to answer the question, I said this, I think, shortly after the Golson injury was kind of official, that if something happens to Davis and they have to go to another backup, it's just easier to move William Gay inside. You're not going to put a Garner or a White out there, you know, trying to brand new to the league and trying to defend the slot. So you're going to have to put Artie Burns out there and kind of bite that bullet and hope that your first-round pick can at least, you know, sink or swim and hopefully swim. But yeah, they're not going to put Garner or White out there. But in preseason itself, yeah, you're going to see maybe some Sean Davis, Montel Garner, Kevin White are going to be your slot guys again on Friday.
Shabazz seems to like some of your reports.
Yeah, what was that, a relative of Shabazz? Or is Shabazz himself liking it? I don't know. I think they're tweeting at you, not me.
I don't know if it's him or related to him or what. But
I think he's a relative. Yeah, I think he's got real practice squad material. I think him and Garner are going to have a good battle. But, you know, Shabazz is a bigger, sturdier kind of looking corner who I think the game slowed down for him because he was real quiet early on. I wasn't saying much about him. He didn't get a lot of reps. Golson injury happens, opens up some reps. And that Friday Night Lights practice in Latrobe was the first time really Shabazz caught my eye. And as I've gone back and through the numbers and chart some of those wide receiver DBs, I think I might have said this yesterday, even though we know that, you know, the DBs aren't going to win a lot, Shabazz had the most wins and one of the better percentages of anybody of that group. So he's a bigger guy. He's got some physicality. And I think the Steelers, again, are kind of, you know, maybe moving towards that or at least gravitating towards it and definitely look at guys with that skill set. So I think the game's slowing down for Shabazz. And I think he's got real practice squad material.
If I were to ask you right now, which one of those young, unknown, you know, practice squad kind of guys you most looking forward to see play Friday night, would he be it?
Oh.
Or Garner? Or
yeah, I don't know if I
or White?
Played. Yeah, Donald Washington's been a disappointment. He's not the young guy, but I thought I would see something from him. I put him on my 53, and he's really been super quiet for most of the camp. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in both Garner and Shabazz, less so White, but I always keep my eyes open. I don't want to go in with too much of a bias because then I'll see what I want to see, you know. So I think both are going to have a lot of snaps. Garner's going to get to play all over the place, and Shabazz will get his snaps on the outside. So we'll see how they do.
Sure. Every day I kind of hope to see more about Shamarco Thomas in your tweets or in tweets in general from the rest of the media and just not showing up in there. What kind of camp is he having?
I think it's a very Shamarco Thomas camp. He's a big hitter. He's throwing his body around. Those are things he's done since his rookie year. I just don't think he gets to play in coverage a whole lot. Guys aren't throwing the ball at him whenever he does. I haven't really seen any opportunities for him in coverage. It's not like he's really getting reps in one-on-ones. It's usually the corners and the safeties rarely get mixed in. It's usually Robert Golden getting that work. It's been a very Shamarco camp, and I think the games will tell that better story when we get a better look at Shamarco Thomas in coverage.
Well, we know how that script goes. What he's going to do in preseason, he's going to deliver a couple of wallops and get everybody excited, and then maybe miss an assignment, get beat down the seam or something like that. You know, so
yeah.
Who else back there? Jordan Dangerfield tattooed somebody today, didn't he?
Yeah, one of the Lions' big tight ends, and the tight end did not like it. Dangerfield put this guy's like 6'7", 260, put him on his butt, and that was kind of one of the small dust-ups today. Been very, professional practice, though, these last 2 days. Dangerfield's doing the same thing as Shark, big hitter, coverage. He made one nice play in coverage earlier in camp, but that's just one play. We'll see if it shows anything different in-game, but I just think Dangerfield's kind of one of those training camp lifers that aren't too common anymore, and he's just a guy that's, what is this, his third camp now? Or something like that, and he's just same thing every game. It's not bad. It's just, is it different?
Jacob Hagan's somebody we haven't discussed. I expect we're going to see him some late Friday night.
Yeah, but he might get some of those fourth quarter reps. Him and Ray Venipal, I don't have a whole lot on them. I try to mention him when I can, but their reps are just so limited that, you just don't learn a lot. I mean, Hagan's a big guy. I thought he had a successful campaign with the Rams. That was a report that he was a guy that had some plus ball skills. Haven't really seen a whole lot of that. I mean, he'll get his chances. The Lions have some big receivers, so maybe they'll take some vertical shots and see if Hagan can make any plays on the football.
All right, we covered defense pretty good or no?
Nope, I think that's everything.
All right, what overviews on offense today?
Just a couple areas I want to hit. Ben and AB were trying to hook up for some deep shots today, and it just really wasn't working out. AB seemed very frustrated, and you were tweeting out, and I didn't even realize it got this bad till I got home, that AB was really jawing with that one ref and saying some not safe for work type things. And the ref, is it true the ref's really going to report AB? Is that true?
That's what he evidently told some in the media around there. Chris Odansky has quotes from Terry Brown, and Terry Brown's a veteran in this league, I think, for 11 years. Saying, let's see, who does he say? I'm still going to report it to the league, Terry Brown said. So,
because I saw the play, and it was a corner route, and AB had caught the pass. The ref ruled him out of bounds. I guess AB wanted a flag. I saw him talking to the ref, but I'm farther away than the Adamski and them are, so I guess they heard exactly what Brown said. He just seemed very frustrated these last 2 days. His body language was not always the typical Antonio Brown.
He wants calls, doesn't he?
He does, like a true receiver.
And I don't think you'll have to worry about him. Yeah, he might get a penalty or so during the season for jawing a little bit too much, but I can't see him costing the team past that. I'd be surprised if Mike Tomlin didn't have a word or two with him after practice today. So he's a highly competitive guy. Mm-hmm. And, I guess overall I'm not surprised. Now, am I surprised it maybe got to the level that it appears to have gotten? Possibly. So that seems to be, I had to write about that immediately after practice was over because that seems to be the main highlight of the day. What else did you see, kind of a 30,000 foot view from the offense?
Backup running backs, not their best day out of the backfield. Christian Powell, Darryl Richardson, Cameron Stingley, Brandon Brown Dukes, they all had drops today, either in team drills or 7-on-7. I know that's not going to be the first thing you talk about, but Mike Tomlin was asked about that today at today's press conference. You got to be able to show that you can be a complete guy. You might not be perfect, but, at least catching the football cleanly, that's just something you got to do. Blocking, if the effort's there, we can forgive some of the technical stuff. That's what Tomlin had told the media today, but some of those drops, it was just pretty sloppy for those backup guys across the board. Elsewhere, Jesse James making some more plays. I think he's kind of emerged the last, I don't know, four practices or so, being able to make some plays downfield. And Ben Roethlisberger threw a pretty football to him today for a touchdown, a little bit behind to throw it away from the defender, and James adjusted back to it and made a nice grab. And then last thing I have for the offensive line today, Chris Hubbard snaps at right tackle. I don't know if it was for the whole practice. No, it wasn't. I'll answer my own question. But at least late in one of the sessions, he was getting work at right tackle. So in 11 training camp practices, Dave, we've seen Chris Hubbard play all five spots in teamwork.
Golly, I'm rooting for Finney to win that.
But Hubbard, Finney's not playing all five spots. I'm sorry. He'll play three probably.
Yeah, and the more you can do, you know, and plus, you know, if you need, they used Hubbard last year a handful of plays as an extra tight end too.
And he got at least one snap in the goal line the other day as that sixth tight end too. So yep, he's gotten work there this year.
And he played a handful of snaps at left tackle. We'll see. We got four preseason games to go. Here's the thing: if Finney doesn't make the cut, look, there was evidently teams after him last year. So now, obviously, if he doesn't put good tape down in four preseason games this year, he'll be less desirable. Maybe he is a guy you can get to the practice squad again temporarily. Generally, teams don't go after those guys. But, you know, if he shows good and it's a close battle between him and Hubbard, who knows? But definitely two guys to be watching during preseason.
So the Steelers are going to carry probably eight linemen on game day? They used to carry seven, but they've been doing eight. Is that a fair assessment to make, Dave?
Yeah, well, let's see. They'll dress seven or eight.
Okay, so we know our starting five. Let's just assume Villanueva's with the starters. So we have backups of Cody Wallace, Ryan Harris. That's seven. Now we need an eighth guy. So, you know, if we talk about, let's say that's, you know, someone goes down in game a tackle, let's say, you know, it's one of the tackles, and then Ryan Harris steps in, you still want some comfort to have a backup to that. Finney can't do that. Hubbard can, and Hubbard can play anywhere on the interior, too. So it's kind of hard to say no to Chris Hubbard just in case something happens and, you know, he's got to go in.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. Boy, I hope he's improved this preseason because really his play's been uninspiring the last couple, you know?
I think he's had a nice camp. I think he's doing well.
All right, we'll watch him close on Friday. Sammy Coates evidently had a couple of balls hit the ground, putting the church's money on the ground.
Yeah, I think there was one, someone next to me had said it. I didn't see it myself. But yeah, that's just camp stuff. You're going to get, you know, he didn't have like any drops to start a camp, so you're going to kind of get everything evening out. But his hands have been solid. I have no issues with his hands at all. He's had, again, a very fine camp.
I think it was Pursuta who, I'm trying to find a tweet here real quick. No, I can't find it. It's not important.
Did he just say that he had a drop?
No, he said, here it is, here it is. Sammy Coates is having a good camp, but stood out today with three drops. Still working on consistency. That's from Mike Pursuta on Twitter after practice today. So
Everyone has a bad day. I don't.
Sure. Eli Rogers, another strong practice, I understand.
Yeah, in the first team session, I'm sure there were tweets about that. I was watching the defense, but caught the offense enough that he had two long catches in that first team session. So, yeah, he's, you know, whether it's guys he knows or guys he doesn't, he's doing the same.
That Lions offense works fast, doesn't it?
They do. Their tempo is a lot faster than the Steelers. I'm not saying it's a good thing or bad thing. I'm just saying that it is faster, and I have to scurry to take my notes. Look at my binoculars, write the play down, back up. They're snapping the football. So I got my workout today.
All right, any kind of final notes for me, winners, losers?
Yeah, I have a couple winners. Again, Chris Hubbard, you know, he's played all five spots. I think it's going to be really hard to say no to him at the final cutdowns. And a guy that, you know, you want a guy to play all five spots on game day. A receiver I forgot to mention, Isaac Blakeney, made a really ridiculous one-handed grab down the right sideline in team drills today against Alex Carter, who's a big cornerback. It was one of the better catches I've seen so far in camp. I think Blakeney, again, continues to show those tools that makes him a guy that you want to develop and keep around on the practice squad, and kind of has a different body type that the Steelers really don't have on their roster right now. He's even a bigger guy than Sammy Coates. You know, it's kind of like what Martavis, that kind of frame a little bit. Martavis is a much better and quicker athlete off the line, but Blakeney's a build-up guy. But anyway, Blakeney has that skill set. Losers all the back at running backs just for putting the, like you said, the church's money on the ground. You can't do that. 7-on-7 team drills. They weren't difficult passes. They were screens. They were checkdowns. Powell's had a big issue with his hands in camp so far. That's not good for a guy trying to fight for snaps. And then just Jordan Zumwalt again, just not seeing anything at outside linebacker. You know, he's taking those reps. He's healthy. He hasn't missed a rep, which is great for him. That was the first thing, and he's checked that box. But the other boxes still are left unchecked.
All right, Alex and I will have plenty, and Matthew will have plenty of content up over the course of the next couple of days, previewing the preseason game against the Lions on Friday night at Heinz Field, so be on the look for that. The practice Thursday for the Steelers is closed, so there'll be no report, there'll be no podcast. We'll be back at you, David and I, with a podcast Friday morning, and if for some reason David can't make that, Alex will sit in for that as well, too. So we'll have plenty of content for you coming in the next couple of days. We appreciate everybody that's been, you know, listening to these or reading the reports. We appreciate people who have donated to the cause. It's greatly, greatly appreciated as well. And I think that's going to do it. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. Follow David Todd at David M. Todd. The Terrible Podcast at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, you know where to find the links on the site. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Kozora.